You know, the old cliche has always been that if Martians attacked, it would be the one thing that brings the whole world together. Now, I don't think it would even bring Americans together. The Martians could blow up the White House like an Independence Day, and half the country would be cheering in the streets. When they said, take us to your leader, we'd start killing each other over who that is. Giant robotic tripods could be vaporizing New Jersey, and Republicans would say, this is what happens in Biden's America. It never happened when Trump was in office. And Democrats would point out how the death lasers were disproportionately affecting low-income communities and people of color. And AOC would tweet, stop demonizing the Martian X community. Alex Jones would call it a false flag operation and accuse the people whose heads were melted off of being crisis actors. Marjorie Taylor Greene would criticize the Jews for not using their space lasers on the Martians. And Lindsey Graham would volunteer for the anal probe.
Choices since the day that I was born, there were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. I was tempted by an early age. I found I liked drinking. Oh, and I never turned it down. There were loved ones, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I've made. I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. Yes, I'm paying for the things that I have done. If I could go back, oh Lord knows I'd run, but I'm still losing. This game of life I played, losing and dying with the choices I've made. Choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. Living and dying with the choices I made.
Well, now, y'all want to call in? Anybody's got an opinion? We got the cowbell ready. I'm going to do somebody or do something. Do the RBN. There it is. There it is. I'm going to introduce y'all to the RBN defecalator. Okay. Ted and I are just getting used to the situation here at the RBN and everything. So we had to set up some perimeters. And what we had to do is had to find an interesting and expedient way to edit and make sure the show moved forward. So when we get a Socrates on the air and everything, you're going to notice that all of a sudden the voice goes away, yelp, like that, and the cowbell will ring from the RBN defecalator. So, but we won't just ring that bell for anybody. You have to have special honors to get that bell. So anyway, yeah. Let's see. Now we were talking
we make comments live. Guests too.
Yeah, we were talking about multiple wives. You know, Ted has always been a good Quaker, and he only marries one at a time. Now, I myself, that's never been my policy.
Well, if I had lived in a Quaker community my entire life, I would have had one wife. But I didn't. I mean, the Quakers are a lot like the Amish. Once you are out of high school, they expect you to go out into the world and prove that you can live according to the principles of that you've learned. And if you can do it, then you can come back and live in the community with the people who've been living there for a long time. The other people who made it, who left and came back. So those principles are really fairly easy to maintain when you get older and you've learned some things. You know, you know some stuff, but they're hard to live with when you're young. Being accountable for yourself when you're 20 or 22 years old, that's pretty tough. It just is.
Well, I learned. I grew up in Antebellum, Louisiana. When I was real young, and with my grandmother and my mother and all that kind of stuff, and they were really Southern Baptists. I mean, you know, my sex education from my grandmother was, she took an iron skillet and knocked me in the head one day and told me, "If you ever heard her insult a decent girl, I'll kill you." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." You know, so the only come on line I ever had was, "Will you marry me?" And I've said that quite a number of times.
That is so sad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm crying right now.
My only problem was, do you realize how expensive divorces are? I mean, really, if she's happy, you're happy. And if she's not happy, you're going to be unhappy with half your crap, you know? I got three. I got three divorces, you know, like a good American. Yeah, but with the other three, that's when I discovered the fundamental Mormons right there. I said, "Well, I'll just keep these three." And everybody was like, "What? What?" I got all these MAGA people now, they're puking in their hats. hey, Daddy gives you what you. Daddy don't give you what you want. Daddy gonna give you what you need. Okay, but. You don't get to be in, you don't get in country music for 45 years and come out the other side normal, okay? It just don't happen. It just don't happen. So,
there's no way we were going to come out normal after the life that we lived.
Oh, no,
it just wasn't going to happen.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And that's because the people around us aren't anything like us. I mean,
Ted, that is a good psychological point to start a whole section of the show on, because that's a problem I have with my family. You know, my whole family thinks I'm crazy. Yep. I'm about three quarters right.
Starting back when we were young, we were just different from the people around us. And I mean, you and I saw that instantly when we met each other. You know, yeah. I mean, it didn't take us any length of time. And it's tough. It's hard. It's hard because people are not direct and people aren't very honest, and you know, and a lot of people would just rather avoid talking to you about what they don't like without punching. I mean, there's some that'll punch you in the face and tell you they don't like you, but that was something I always tried to avoid. But I mean, you know, and with women, you know, you go home and at the end of the day, and you say, why is it everybody but me, you know, to get that this girl dates, you know? Why does this girl go out with everybody in the community but me? And I hate to sound like a weepy Tommy or something, but you know that really is something that's difficult to work with. You know, you got to get up in the morning and work with that all day long, and you got to go to bed with it. So,
well, like you said, your age has something to do with it. If you're in your 20s, now here's a scenario, okay? You're in your 20s, and you were voted Outstanding Young Man of the Year in 1979, which I was, and you get recruited by an old millionaire who bought a big tract of land in the middle of town because he was a tax collector, and he paid the $2 taxes and got it, and then he had a grandson. Yeah, it would be you, Ted. came over here, and the old man was going to put him in business and make him an upstanding American, you know. And you wore a nice suit and everything, and I wore kind of a college sweater, and all. And we all looked real good. But the thing was, is we had we were warped, and we didn't get along. We did not get along at all at first. You know, I was strictly by the numbers, you know, and like the old man took us down. We had a house down near the pool, a kind of a clubhouse, and it was being used to store stuff, to tractors and stuff like that. And the old man took us down one day, and he said, "Boys, this here can be a community center. People from all over the trailer park can come here in the afternoon and in the evening, and they can swim with their family, and they can sit around and eat hamburgers, and they can drink tea and talk about, you know, life and everything like that. And you boys are going to make it happen. I'm going to let you boys pull this together, and this will be a shining beacon for everybody in the park to come and hover together and get together and everything. Now I'm going to go back to the office for a while, and you boys start cleaning this thing up and get that pool ready." And he walked out. And me and Ted looked at each other and said, "Well, it looks like a casino and a whorehouse to me. How about you?" "Yeah, pretty much."
Yeah, that's when we went down and bought a big neon sign.
Yeah. 40.
You know, my grandfather used to take us out collecting rent at the end of the month. And so we had, he'd do up the book, and right around, I guess the third or the fourth of the month, you know, people hadn't paid their rent yet. He'd take me and Billy out to collect the rent, and he would stand there at the door, and I think this is probably what which bonded us like brothers. It was like this, "Boys, we're going to collect the rent, until we get to $687, well, you don't eat." So we literally, he wouldn't let us go eat. Once we collected the amount of money that he wanted to collect, he'd take us down to that Sizzler down there at the bottom of Hallmark.
Yeah.
But until then, you know, we had to go door to door with my grandfather collecting rent. And when we got to the point where, when he got to the point, he'd start off the conversation. He had these high water pants that came up over his belly button, and he'd stick his thumbs in his belt, which was right underneath his nipple, and he'd twiddle his fingers, and he'd say, "Friend,
friend."
That's when you knew you were in trouble. When he'd say, "Friend,
You haven't paid your rent yet.
Well, I got a no pay due slip, and why don't you show me that no pay due slip? Well, it's around here somewhere. I might have left it back at the barracks.
You don't live in the barracks anymore.
I think what's happening is that you're trying to skip out on me. You don't want to pay your rent. Now you go back in there and you come back here with some money. And most of the time, you know, once they'd had a couple of trips over there, visits by us, they would do that. But if they didn't do that, right away, what would happen is that screen door would fly open, Billy would reach in and grab one, and throw him out, and I would beat him up.
It was like a scene from Casino. The whole thing was like a scene from the only time that we were caught short. We had a series of houses on the north side, okay? And there was one guy. We had one place rented, one guy living over there, and he wasn't paying no rent. And the old man told us, said, you got to go collect rent, but you can't throw him out. I've got to have a live body over there, or the homeless will move in, tear the place up. So we went over there and started getting into this guy, you know, and everything. And finally, he got mad, slammed his fist down on the guy's dinner table, said, you're going to pay me some money or else. And the guy said, or else what? And Ted said, or else I won't have no money. Now, the thing is,
we live with people that shot their husband in the testicle. I'm not kidding. remember Arnold Studley? A guy.
How about McCoy and the chick he brought to the house and cut one girl's head off and bowled it down the middle of Wardler Street? You know,
I was down there without a gun. He came. somebody called me, and this guy was such a good guy, such a nice guy, that I went down there and without a gun. And usually, if there was trouble, people would call me up and say there's trouble. I'd take a gun. But I knew this guy, and he was a nice guy from Oklahoma, and I went into his house, and I sat down on the couch, and the couch, I looked, I got up right away, and the couch was just soaked in blood, and I looked at him, and I said, "Man, what have you been doing over here anyway?" And he said, "Well, you'll have to go look in the bedroom," and I went in the bedroom. And there was a woman that was cut in three, and she was in three pieces, and on the bed, and there was a great big smear of blood going down the hallway, and I was getting by the time I got to the bedroom, I pretty much knew what was going to be there, and I came back into the living room, and he was standing there with a knife that was about 3 feet long. I'm not kidding. It was a huge knife. And he said, "What am I going to do?" And I said, "Well, you're going to put that knife down to start with." And he put that knife down, and he said, "Well, would you give me a head start?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll give you a head start." And so he took off running out the door, and I watched him. And I was going to give him a head start, but he got about, I guess 20 or 30 feet away, and he stopped, and his shoulders slumped, and he said, "They're going to catch me, aren't they?" And I said, "Yeah, they're going to catch you." And so he sat there. I went and called the police on his phone, and they came and got him. Boy, that was
God Almighty, it was bad.
But between that guy and the woman who threw her 3-month-old out of the third story window of that apartment that we owned, that was probably the worst two that we ever had.
Yeah, they it was bad in a lot of ways. It was bad, and I mean it was terrible. But another interesting thing was we had the assets that the old man bequeathed to us, okay? And I won't go into all the details of how this works, but basically we were millionaires. And we had unlimited bank and all that kind of stuff. So we didn't murder anybody, but we could get away with murder. anyhow, you know, because we own a big old trailer park in the middle of a big old army town. You know, and it was weird. It was weird.
It was, but that's, see, that's behind us, and it's been a long time ago. I mean, the world has just changed so much.
Back
in those days, the police would come to the trailer park with a man with a gun because you know one of us would be out there with a gun. you know, I mean, they'd come out there and say, look, y'all can't be out here with a gun. Well, why can't we be out here with a gun? Well, because, you know, it makes people nervous. And remember that guy, Abney? He was standing there and he said, doesn't make me nervous.
Hey, I'll tell you the one that got me. That was that Paul guy, that beat up that kid, and then the kid said, I'm going to go get my big friend. Yeah, get out of here, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and old Paul, he was working on his car. The car was up on a jack, you know, or bumper
like
jack.
6'6".
Yeah, and this guy showed up, and he grabbed Paul by the foot, pulled him out from behind under the car, and held him up by his leg, pulled the jack out from under the car, took it, knocked at least one quarter of his head off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There you are. I got my girl in the control room. It's pretty awesome.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Pictures.
I wish I had some pictures. She's jamming. Is that Reba? I think she's jamming Reba. Well, here we go. Hang on.
All right, get her.
I wish. Let me see if I can tell her. Hang on. Unmute your mic. Nah, she won't. I couldn't hear you at all. Like I said, she's jamming stuff. But
that's okay, Mike. We were just sitting here talking about opening whorehouses. Don't worry about it.
Oh, snap. Oh, wait. ZZ Top. LaGrange, yeah. Baby. Come on now.
There you go. That'll fit right in.
I wish. Hey, if I can. Hang on. Let me see if I can get her. I would like to hear ZZ Top LaGrange. For the love of God. She's like, who? ZZ Top LaGrange. We'll see if we can get her to do that Skype 2 channel. Hang on. Let me see. Put it on. There you go. Put it on there. Skype 2 channel. ZZ Top LaGrange. Whatever. What do we have? We took the clock off the wall here. Oh, we got plenty of time.
Yep.
Good Lord. Talking about
nobody's called in, man. You notice that?
Exactly. And I'm not gonna lie, y'all. You're holding numbers, so let's do a shout out to everybody that joined in just now, and you're loving what you're hearing, but you don't know what the hell it is. That's fine. And no one's leaving. They're like, wow, this is nice. It's Friday night. Holy moly. All right, wait. Here we go. Hang on. You got that ZZ Top? Load that ZZ Top up. As you know, in case anybody doesn't know, I'm the executive producer, also the engineer, also... She doesn't know how to work the intercom, so... Skype 2. Push up Skype 2. Channel like 17 over there. Skype 2. Skype 2. It says Skype 2 on it. There you go. Push. No, the fader. Push.
This
fader.
Is a lot of entertainment, man. This is a lot of entertainment.
Is that it?
Yeah.
No. Unmute. No, unmute. Hey, talk amongst yourselves. Talk amongst yourselves.
Hey, Ted.
I'm self-acclaimed.
We saw we had a problem with Puck. I was worried about what Puck might say and do.
I was thinking that the two of them would be perfect together.
Oh, man.
I mean, seriously.
I tell you.
They'd be like, what's those two women that go to those Trump rallies?
Diamond and Silk, man. I know that.
Diamond and Silk. They'd be like,
to get yourself in.
Oh, there we go.
Most every night. But now I might be mistaken.
There you go, boys. Got a little background.
Oh, geez. All right.
She took it all the way down. Oh, well.
Hey, I'm going to give you a list of West Texas guitar.
I was sitting here last night. Puck came and took over the airwaves, and it was on Pins and Needles. God.
Oh, there we go. Hang on.
I really was.
Just a little bit. Turn that up a little bit.
Get it up a little bit.
Just a little bit. That green. You see where the green light is? Yeah, you. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have a green light on a channel.
Here we go.
Oh, snap. What is that? The other. Next one over. Jeez. Back. Good lord. It's not that complicated. See that one with the green light on it? Oh, God. Oh, God. It's a family show.
I feel like everybody's having fun to be here now.
Well, dang it, Teddy. Teddy.
If I could just come here to the tower.
Teddy, you see the one with the green light? See the green light?
Yeah, see the green light, Timmy? Come on, Timmy. See the green light.
Yeah. Tim. I'm trying to tell her. Tim, the one with the green. Oh, she turned it off. Oh, well. She doesn't.
You sound like you're having a good time, buddy.
Well, she doesn't know how to do it. Bill, Ted, what we have here, boys, is Bill the Butcher and Ted. What we like to call Bill and Ted's Excellent Red Pill Adventure Suppository Edition.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a suppository.
It is definitely a suppository edition. I got my calculator right here. Let me figure this out. Hang on. Wait. We should be good for about 300. We're going to make tens of dollars, gentlemen. Tens of dollars.
Oh, tens? Okay. We're going to be tens out of there before.
You
something.
Know, Ted, my big fear until this moment tonight was that Puck would launch into one of her monologues.
Oh, man.
you can't get her stopped. Mike, is that you? Mike?
Yeah, that's
come on,
thing.
Mike.
Yeah.
You remember me. You called me baby doll. When did they let you out?
What? No way, dude. Hey, that ain't me, boys. That ain't me. Oh, good lord. There's some flashes of something going on here in the control room. I don't know what's going on. I'm gonna need some sensors. Good gravy. The whole point was, hey, I couldn't hear you guys. She's in there jamming out.
Hey, Ted, that's why we got away with everything we said. Notice that?
No, you guys were on the air. Hey, y'all keep it clean. You guys were on the air. I just joined in here from the...
Hey, Mike's saying the numbers are holding. No poo-poo.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, the numbers have gone up. Internationally, we are looking at some up and down, but locally with RBN is just straight up. So we got new listeners joining in every minute.
Like Puck's blood after a chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to coordinate this thing, guys. Here's the deal. Let me give you the deal.
While you're getting it, I'll tell the audience how the time I made three girls pray to a red stereo light because I tell them they hear God.
Snap.
Yeah, I really did.
The Great Robbery. That would be a good one. When we finally get to the X-rated version of this show,
we got a story
that we'll tell.
It sounds like sacrilege, but the blasphemy will end in the next 32 minutes when we have... I forgot his name. I'm sorry, she's still yelling in there. Dan Overhauser, he's a hardcore longtime supporter. That's why you hear that prayer. Wait, Teddy, you call me sometimes. I sometimes see you try to call after hours. That's good Lord.
Well, I just want to say thanks. I mean, you know, you work hard on our behalf, and you know, you're there after hours, yeah. and doing the work. I mean, without you, we don't have
really. When I heard Greta Thunberg coming, when you popped that in,
how dare you?
I said something else. And I heard Greta.
I should be across the ocean in Skewl. How dare you?
Yeah.
I've had Thunberg for 4 years, man. I would love to get her drunk just to see that look on her face.
Honestly, she's kind of ridiculous these days, but she's looking. I think she might be figuring it out at some point.
She could be.
I mean, they were like, she's 16. I'm like, she looks about 9 and a half. And then,
yeah. Well, yeah, she does. You know, she does. She's 18 now.
Yeah.
She finally hit legal age. Of course, now, legal age in Switzerland is just like right after they cut the cord, you know. But
you got to be careful about that Switzerland thing. Or is it Sweden?
It's Sweden.
Oh, well, you know, I'm sorry. Yes. Sweden.
They all look alike. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a dream.
They all look alike.
I had a dream. The Aryan Swedish aliens showed up to take care of the what are those guys called? What are the reptilians called? No, it's good. It's good. Dream.
Oh yeah.
It's a good dream. It's a good dream. No weird stuff. I'm just saying. It was one of those visions. I was like, "Oh my goodness!"
That's where I get into it. You know, like I get calls, and literally, like the other night when I was taking that one call, and as an aside, as a joke, I said, "Please tell me you don't believe that the moon landing was fake." Oh heck yeah! He was all over that.
And I'm thinking, oh, Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Filmed. My girl is screaming in the control room. She, if she only knew how to open up her mic, it would be so much fun.
Oh, it would be really interesting.
Teddy, I'd love to. Maybe we got enough time. Let's do a quick. I know all of the flat Earth debate points. Let's do a quick. We need what we need right now. We're supposed to have some music. It should be like, or better, breaking news: flat Earth is real. We are here now with Bill and Ted's excellent suppository adventure, and we will be discussing. Is the Earth
a flat Earth?
Is the Earth a flat disk floating through space, or is it a flat plane through all time? All right, Teddy, quick. Mr. Tedderson, what I'm going to give you now is top secret information.
Okay.
What if the universe was flat? The universe is flat. If the universe is flat, what is the... I don't remember the adverb.
The universe is as flat as a day-old beer.
It is. Dude, she's cracking up in there. You have no idea, guys. The control room is going nuts. Let's go to Bill. Do you have any color commentary before we go to Ted?
For flat Earth?
Yes, sir. Play-by-play. Play-by-play by Ted. First and foremost,
okay.
Color commentary.
Yeah, Bill, you take the flat Earth side now.
Hang on.
Hold up. And honestly, while you're searching for your notes, the man's name was Lee Austin.
If the Earth is round, how come we don't fall off when it's spinning?
Because we're moving through the universe straight up from the bottom. That's just what I've heard, gentlemen. This is Walter Slodkite here.
Why couldn't we be spinning as a two-dimensional object?
See, this is the thing. I think a lot of people are missing out on this, Ted. We're going to have a little discussion about dimensional reality. Good Lord. Three dimensions, that's simpleton stuff. Simpleton, S-H-I-T. I forgot what John Steinmiller would say. Good Lord.
He had something to say about that?
Yeah, he had a word for it, or a phrase. He would say, good Lord. I'm sorry. I'm just a little distracted here. You don't say the S-H-I-T word. You say,
like I said early on, I said saying N-word.
Well, I hate to be the guy to say it, but the universe is actually 10 dimensions.
There you go, or 11, depending on who's counting.
Well, they're just different facets of what we perceive to be reality. We're immediately aware of the three dimensions.
We could take it down a little bit of a notch. Brian, whatever his name is, that he wrote a book. Just imagine. What I like to say is, imagine that you're a fish, and then someone puts, if one of us puts their hand into the surface of the water, but just the fingers. So now you have 4 or 5 areas where you see an interaction, and that's kind of like the higher dimensional interactional description, because most people never think. There's some books out there. Ted, do you know about these books? The one where they describe, like, the line world, when you're just a line, or you're just a point, and you interact with another point or another line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about it. Come on, tell us about
it. Well, let's break it down. Let's talk about what dimensions are. They're the different facets of what we perceive to be reality. We're immediately aware of the three dimensions that surround us on a daily basis. Those are the ones that define the length, the width, and the depth of all the objects in our universe, or what I can't think of who it was called, the X, Y, and Z axes. Mm-hmm. But beyond these three visible dimensions, there's a more theoretical framework of superstring theory, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah, Brian Greene. Brian Greene is one of the authors. He wrote
close. I'm not going to open them.
Uh-oh.
So the question is: how is possible that I have all that result before he published? If no, because I found them.
I think Mike just joined the chat again.
Oh, good gravy! Mike, turn that up. What? Oh snap! Guys, you're on the air on RBN, so I don't know. You may want to...
On the air?
Yeah, we're on the air at this point. I'm in the studio, and my girlfriend's in the control room, so it's a little...
She's got them locked out.
No, they're locked in at this point. They're locked in. We were talking about dimensions, for the love of Kirk. Okay.
Well, popped in. So, how long have we been on the air?
Like 10 seconds. Cut that off. Cut it up.
Who's the other voice?
We're doing it live.
I didn't say anything.
What?
This is like John. I'm gonna. Okay, John Stadtmiller was my mentor, and he would be like, it would be like this. I don't know if you can hear this. He'd be like. Hit the red button. I'm just kidding. William, William, nice to talk to you. Hit the red button at the bottom. Bottom. There we go. All right. Jeez. You know, you can't do that. You know what I mean, guys? Ted, Bill and Ted. Well, here's the deal. If anybody wants to get caught up on what was going on there, that was the previous show. Jeremy from Kentucky in plain sight, and he had a guest host. And there's a woman named Laura Corvino, and yeah, my girlfriend is obviously intimidated by her. But either way, she's
your girlfriend is a nihilist. You know that, don't you?
I don't know if that's appropriate. I think she's kind of a what's worse than a nihilist?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, an outer space chaos. Oh, Ted, you have ding 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 ding.
Hey, she's got Billy on hold.
Yeah, my girl went by chaos. She went by chaos as her like handle for a long time. So that's actually hilarious. But Ted, back to the interdimensional stuff. The string theory, Brian Greene. I read Brian Greene. I tried to read Einstein. You know, general and special. One of them was it special relativity? That's just way too much, like math. You know, no one's ever going to read that. But then there, you get it. But there,
yeah.
The general relativity, he kind of wrote like a 30 or, you know, 50 page story about, oh wow, general relativity. And frankly, I'm an Einstein hater. Just,
oh yeah,
yeah, I am. I believe he has no idea what the hell was going on, or he had no idea. But
I don't know. I mean, what about the idea of time as being the fourth dimension? That's his idea.
No, that there you go, Ted. Teddy, that was the only thing I ever thought was real about Einstein. I was like, okay, he finally exposed me to that one higher dimension. Because without that, she's laughing so hard in there. I'm sorry, it's very distracting. Without that, I would never know what the hell was going on. Because without having that one idea of, you know, everybody knows what. Okay, here's the deal, Ted. Let's do our best. We only have a few minutes here. We got about 10 minutes, maybe 15. When you have that idea of two or three or four dimensions, you kind of get it, you know. But that zero dimensions or that one dimension, very difficult. And then beyond the
too many choice.
Oh no! Oh.
It's not healthy.
Another abomination.
She found the mix board.
White guys over 10 years of age who wear their baseball hats backwards.
Station in here. All right, there we go.
And that's what I got to think about.
Yeah, that was pretty good, dude. That was John Stamm. Oh no, here she goes. She's gonna pump it up again.
You're lame. It's a law of nature. Hey, turning your around and learning a complicated handshake will not make you cool. And you black guys, since you started the whole thing, I'm gonna let you.
All right, there we go. All right, Jesus.
It's time to spin that mother around to the front.
Wow. Good Lord. Okay, now John Stadtmuller is spinning in his grave. He's like, geez, these kids.
No, but see, here's the beauty of it. You're not online.
Oh.
RBN's not online right now.
No, well, doesn't mean anything anymore. It was supposed to piss off the squares. The squares are wearing them now. Doesn't mean anything. It's just fucking jewelry. Unless you have an earring with a live baby hanging from it.
You're alive!
And I want you to know I'm in favor of self-mutilation and personal disfigurement. I've always said there's nothing like puncturing and perforating your skin in a dozen or so places in order to demonstrate your high self-esteem.
There you go.
Yeah, there. Exactly. That's it. Thanks, Ted. That's exactly what you beat me to it. There you go. This is what the youngsters think is okay, and it's kind of weird. But again, if we can trust me, I've been trying to tell her for like a few hours. Can we have 30 seconds?
Oh, God.
Nothing goes unheard in the studio.
No, not in the control room. The control
That's
room.
Right.
If they're okay, here we go.
That's
more
why
garbage.
They call it the control room.
Freaking control room! I swear to God, I will go in there. I will hit so many buttons that she won't know what the hell's going on.
You're locked off the bridge, Captain. I'm telling you.
What? No,
you're
I
locked
am not.
Off the bridge.
Wait, what do they say? What do you call it when you're in the captain's chair and you tell the helm? You tell the helm. God, she's out of control. All right, while she's cackling, ten dimensions. All right, second, third, fourth, fifth dimension. No one gets it. But it is like putting your hand into a fish tank, and then you see you are in one dimension, but now you are in 5 points within the lower dimension. Ted, go.
Oh, dang okay. It. So let me respond
Ted,
to that.
Do not do that. I'm trying. Hang on. There you go. All right. The floor is yours, Ted. Listen to
okay,
Ted.
Let me respond to that because I want to decode what Mike just said. And what you just said really why do we about the and wit, and then add time to that,
Ted,
and then we
Ted,
can plot
Ted, Ted,
the
Ted,
position
Ted,
of something in the universe. And that's really what life is all about. You know, it's like on the higher level, it has to do with things like the quarterback
Ted,
being able
Ted.
To hit some guy who's running downfield. He doesn't throw it right at the guy.
Oh, my God.
You know,
Ted, I'm sorry. I'm in the control room now. Can you start over? About
he just slangled me into being
yes.
quiet.
Yeah, because she kind of dropped you off the air about 2 minutes ago. But back to what I gave you, the 2, 4, 3. Ted.
Well.
Yeah, just go,
the
go
idea
from there.
That the,
go from there.
The idea that the fourth dimension is time, it governs the properties of all known matter at any given point. So, along with the three other dimensions, knowing an object's position in time is, you know, like essential to plotting its position in the universe. Now, isn't that what our lives are all about, Mike? Is plotting the position of something in the universe?
No.
You don't think so?
No. The girl says no. I say obviously yes.
That's every single action that we take is
yeah.
about plotting the point of something in the universe. And so we use these three axes, which are the three dimensions that we're immediately aware of,
yeah.
and
familiar,
we add time
what,
to that.
Well, yeah, what we're familiar with. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
But you with which are not personally familiar.
Continue.
Well.
Continue.
Respectfully.
John Stadtmiller is
don't bring
rolling
him up.
In his grave. No,
Stop.
I have to put up with a lot
he
of.
Doesn't love him.
I have to put up with a lot of BS.
Well, okay. Check your a quick check will tell you that you're male. So that's what you're in for. That's what you're. That's what it's all about.
I'm not sure, Ted. It's
no, it's true.
No, we're having a hard time.
John
no, I'm just
had a
we're
lot
kidding.
Of emotions with his hormones and his injections.
But listen, men are heavy equipment, and women are heavy equipment operators. That's just a simple fact of life. We wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be talking on the radio or using cell phones or anything if that weren't the case.
No, in the
100, 100, Ted. 100. Yeah, as the kids say, 100. Well, actually, that's don't say that because that's old.
Yeah.
don't turn your baseball cap around backwards. So, I mean, you know, you can get into, you know, trying to explain interactions with others, but with other possibilities. But things get really tricky for the physicists. I mean, that, you know, you were talking about superstring theory a little while ago. You kind of had a simplified version of it. And this is where the fifth and the sixth dimensions are the notion of possible worlds that, you know, where we can see through the fifth dimension. And if we could, we'd see a world slightly different than our own that would give us means of measuring the similarity and differences between our world and the possible ones. You know, this is where these books like Waking the Prophet that Vic Quinton wrote and this movie this book Someday that Billy wrote, you know, where they're talking about devils and demons and angels being all around us in the material world comes from.
Yeah, there you go. No, it a lot. Jeez, turn my girl's still in the control room. She doesn't understand. The point is, you turn on your mic if you want to talk. That's what Statmiller would always tell me. It's like, turn your mic on. I can't understand you. Yeah, she's. I hear what she's saying, and the point is, people don't get that a lot of other people have laid out all of these pathways, and they're like, here, this is how it works, and if you want to know how it works, if you want to be familiar with the different understanding, then go talk to them. But a lot of people usually just, they're like, oh, there's only three dimensions, you know. And it's kind of like the flat Earth. Teddy. Kind of like the flat Earth. You know, a lot of people have never even imagined anything different. You know what I mean? That's fine. And
it is.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like, oh, I looked at the shoreline and it doesn't look right. And then, you know.
Newtonian physics is just fine for us most of the time when you get right down to it. Most of us live in a world where the only thing that's important to us is Newtonian physics. The fact that, you know, there's gravity and how it affects, you know, how that affects things around us. We're very simple. And we like our beer and glizzy. What can I say?
Wow, these, you know, me and you, idiots, together, trying to talk about some stuff. It's beyond the mechanical physics. There's biology, there's chemistry. There are a lot of things that they work. You know, I was talking to Julie here. Producer, engineer. And I told her, I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes people think it's real simple, and then when you try to actually figure it out, it's a little complicated, but that's fine. That doesn't mean it's not real, and it doesn't mean that you don't understand it, but let's do the work. You know, everybody knows that when you have pure baking soda and you have pure vinegar, you get... What? Stop it! Jesus Christ.
Vinegar. That's what I was missing.
Yeah, the vinegar. And vinegar and baking soda is not even a thing. You know, like, what you really want is, like, ammonia and, you know, swear to God.
Gasoline.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
Now you're talking, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, and frankly, get a car. Okay, I'm pretty sure everybody that knows me knows I drive a 1991 Subaru Legacy Wagon. Do not take me off the air. Do not do it. It is very difficult. It is very difficult. You know, you need coolant, you need lubricant, you need suspension, you need nice rubber to meet your machine to the road, and people don't get it. They all think it's like,
No, I get it. I totally get it.
And it's not easy. I wish it was easy. I'm like, come on, guys, let's go. And everybody and tells us that you do this, you do that, it's going to be fine. It rarely is. And where, God bless, where's Bill? Skype one.
She put him on hold.
I think Bill is just off air. Skype one, Big Blue. There you go. Move that. Is he still there? You took him off air. That's fine. Whatever. We only have a few minutes, but
yeah.
Whatever. It's always been great to have you guys here. I think we're in week 4, which is impressive.
Yeah.
No, most people never make it past week 4.
Okay.
All right. Jeez, Louise. All right. Are you there? You there, Ted?
Yeah.
All right. We're still on the air. We're still on the air.
Ted.
But
I will still be here in week.
Can I just say, Ted? I have been snoozing through V Show for 5 months, and then you came on, and you were like a breath of fresh air.
Why? Thank you.
Seriously,
thank you.
I had to listen
that.
To that shit every day, and I was like,
"Whoa, it's a family show."
That schniznit every day, and then you came along, and I was like, "Thank Jeebus,"
because
you are interesting and like Jeebus. Funny and like with a fresh take. Like he's
my
where it's
wife's
at.
Father.
And frankly, Ted, you're
like
right here, right? Hey,
wait,
no, guess what? Final joke, everybody. We were looking for a place to get away from the F1 to get, like, a nice...
Is
like,
he here in town?
No.
Come into
yeah, pretty
school.
Close.
Pretty close. We were trying to get away from F1 for the weekend, and no. It's still... It's $200.
He's hilarious.
It's $200
amazing.
In, like, Belton, which is, what, like, 100 miles away
no
from
No one's funny from
F1.
Belton.
All right, well,
initially.
That's the end of the show, folks. Thanks, Ted.
I'll see you Monday.
We will talk to you, and we will miss you.
We'll pay you.
Honestly, we might call you after hours.
Are you down for paying after hours, like to come, like to the show?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you guys are family. You're friends.
Thanks, Ted. Me, Mike, and. My lovely.
Shut your mouth.
Lovely.
We need like a strong weekend person. Like everyone on this network after hours is a jabroni.
Well, actually, if you are listening to this, then you need to tune in over the weekend. We have a lot of good shows.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of good shows.
I'll do that. What? Starting when?
Starting at about
Saturday.
8. Yeah, 8 a.m. in about. Well, that would be 8 hours from now. You're going to want to tune in, and then...
8 hours, Ted!
Yeah.
Like, well, I got to be up kind of early tomorrow anyway. I've got to...
Hey, we're still in the air.
Like
we're still in the air.
Thing.
Let's we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.